not accept any messages at this time. Goodbye.
Greetings, the automatically deleted husband, and yes, another week of the mailbox full, which is obviously remains a concern. Well, just some trivia things. I noticed that the attacks that was happening on Kozlowska.org seems to have slowed to a crawl and happened very suddenly. So it does, it's consistent with it was targeted and turned off for whatever reason. But I also leave you a link. There was a man who, because the Hajj is happening, a man walked from Pakistan to Saudi Arabia, to Mecca, in order to perform the Hajj. Apparently, you know, documented on social media his journey and so forth. And I saw that and I thought, well, that's, you know, kind of, it's kind of an interesting story. Obviously, I would not endorse somebody going to the Hajj for a different reason. But what I found fascinating is his trip was about 2,500 miles. I got more miles than my boots, my one set of boots than that. So I thought that was interesting. Anyway, a little trivia. And the other thing is very important is today is the day to celebrate. It is National Coconut Day. The fanfare, the joy, what a delight. I was so really encouraged to hear that. But you may recall on Friday I mentioned the hike I took to pick up my boots. I saw a couple deer just off the greenway. And then shortly thereafter saw some raccoon. Yesterday I saw something for the first time. You know, because these are animals in, you know, just right in front of me. Yesterday I saw, again, animals right in front of me. A black bear and his cub. That's different because they have this, they're a little more powerful, physically powerful than, you know, I might be. And so you don't want to be on their wrong side. But to have a black bear within 50 feet of you running by is an interesting experience. But where did that happen? Well, Big Frog happened. And that was a really big deal. That was a really big deal. Luke came by before 7:30, got in his car. We drove up, and so comfortably before 9, 8:30 or so, we were starting the hike. So my fourth time for the full hike, and there's the sign right there at the parking lot, and then there are three other signs, which kind of gives you, kind of mile markers of how far you've done. And before we got to the first sign, we saw Luke saw it. I didn't. The black bear, I saw it later. But so, you know, we started up there. We got to the first sign and took the picture very, very much like the picture. Well, this picture right here that I did with Chris. We did the same thing I did with Luke, so that's the picture I'll use. But after I did that and we started continuing the walk, I realized, yes, I'm tied with Chris 4-4, except because I mentioned to Luke that it's this other route right there at that sign. That's the 11-mile route, and that's what Chris took twice. I've only done it once, so technically he still has an advantage over me. Anyway, but it was a good hike. I was concerned about the, a year older, how well would I do? I was pleased. We kept up a good pace all the way to the top. It was a little different because it was a good bit warmer, than any time we've done it before, and a lot of growth. So sometimes we had to kind of more fight through the trail rather than walk through because there was so much growth. But we got there fine. And even the return trip was at a good pace all the way. So that I was very pleased with. So one of the, again, I was concerned about what my, whether or not I would be a little bit more fatigued. I did it fine. I may have done it with more vigor than any of the other times in actuality, because obviously got to the top, and indeed, I did do my jumping jacks, and the videos, Luke did record the video. I did leave a postcard, the promise card at the top, as I've done the last two times. So now there are three up there, but actually they're not three up there anymore. Look for the jar. The jar's gone. So that really encourages me that the last trip, I took the pictures of all the things in the jar because the jar's gone. So there is a third postcard up there, but I just simply stuck it under the tree. And my assumption is it's pretty sad shape, if not gone already, simply because it rained. And, one of the things that really amazed me, and Luke and I talked about it on the way back, because we went up there, all was fine. We went back down, it was fine. Then we had to drive down the hill, which is, another 1,000 feet. We had to go a lot slower than before because the road seems to have been a little bit more washed out. So there's a lot more bumps, and he had to do a lot of driving around, rocks sticking up and so forth. So we had to go down pretty slow, as we did going up in the car. And of course, on the way down is when, Luke saw the black bear as we were going up, and which I didn't see. But when we were we make a turn on the way going down the hill in the car, and right in front of us, bouncing across the road, is the black bear and the cub. And I fumble fingers. I didn't get the camera running to get it because he was right there. And it's kind of like, unfortunately, don't have a picture of that. But that's really kind of amazing to see a black bear running in the wild at that time, maybe 100 feet in front of us. The time earlier, he was closer. So that was fascinating. Then we get down to the bottom. There's the power generator station there and so forth. And we cross over to Highway 64, the highway that, and so now we get on roads where we can get up to speed. Shortly after we got there, the rain came. So we did the entire trip, fine. We go down the hill, fine. We get on the road, a little mist. And a minute or so later, maybe 2 minutes later, it started to pour, and not a little bit. It rained for perhaps a solid hour. It was an inch of rain in that time. It poured. So what I saw in that was the Lord's grace tremendously. He allowed us to make the entire trip without a drop of rain, the entire hike. And he allowed us to get off the rough road without a drop of rain. And then we got on a comfortable road, and the rain came. I really felt the Lord's grace, and in a sense, an endorsement that we did the right thing. To see that, it was great. One of the things I mentioned also is that when Chris and I have typically walked, whether it's Big Frog, Benton Falls, or Buzzard Point, some other places, often we are in deep theology discussions on the way up, and on the way back, it's more we want to get back. Luke and I had a reasonable conversation on the way up. It got really deep on the way back. And that encouraged me. we got into a lot more things. We got into some serious things. And that was an encouragement, because I was talking to, he's 29 and I'm 67. and we got in some serious dialogue. That really was great. But so I did, at the top of the of Big Frog, I did do my jumpy jacks. We did do a video. I did, you know, put a preface on there that my, one of my purposes was to encourage others. Because I, you know, at the top, I got to 830,080. Actually, 81, because when I checked the video, because I thought about it when I was doing it, I think I miscounted. I did 129, but I'm going to leave it as 128. Anyway, so I did a video and I wrote a description of it with the intent of striving to encourage. And that description is on kozlowska.org on the page with the video, as well as the other photos of yesterday, which didn't take too many. But thought about it and I said, okay, it's a light and fluffy thing. And it's only short, it's just under 2 minutes. And it's a little weird because most of it is seeing this old guy doing jumpy jacks. Kind of like, But I decided I was going to put it on BitChute. And, you know, so it's been on BitChute for 6 hours. And I thought, well, you know, who's going to want to watch that? And the thing I think was interesting is that, you know, when over time, it's this, you know, data collection scanners that are upping the count on BitChute. But, you know, when it happens in the first couple hours, I would suggest those are real views. And to my surprise, in the first hours, I have 22 views. And I thought, okay, well, that's actually probably 22 views. Well, interesting. And of course, I also put it on Brighteon because I figured, you know, I don't get traffic on Brighteon. You know, that wasn't a big deal. But I put it on since, you know, I was there. And in the first 6 hours, 72 views. It's kind of like, wow. It suddenly became literally one of my more popular videos on Brighteon, which I thought, you know, gee, that's strange. But, okay, so it's on there. And I really wonder, because in the text description of it, it was important to say I wanted to encourage. And so and, you know, I did mention in there that I wanted to get to a million on December 8th, and that I'm encouraged that, well, last paragraph, the bottom line to the couch potatoes or those who think they can't for whatever reason, let me encourage you to try. Set a goal for something that you will do, commit to doing it, then live your commitment. I am pathetic running, uncoordinated, and not very strong, but I can walk long and fast. Don't look at what you're pathetic at, but what you can do well, then do it. And I really hope maybe I encourage somebody. So I'm pleased. Yesterday I was at the top of Big Frog Mountain. Didn't have quite the views because when we got to the top, because there's a sign near the top to, you know, go this way, because there's the trail splits. There's a sign at the top. And because I'd been there, I said, this is different because it was overgrown, unlike what was before. Because you didn't see the trail to the top with the campfire and so forth. And it was kind of like, where is it? And we looked around and thought, maybe here? No. And then we found it. But it was very strange to be up there. And there was this, a bit of unfamiliarity, even though I've been there several times, because it was so overgrown. But again, to be there and to look around, and again, you know, the fascinating thing is you can see other mountains in the distance, and they're below you, which is really, really neat. I have a photo. I met Luke at the farmer's market, and basically where he sits selling his wallets and things of that nature, opposite to him is a lady who is selling granola. So I took a picture of Luke eating some of that granola, and then, which came out as a good picture. And I emailed the people who do that, saying, "Here, you want? Here's maybe a PR picture for you, because you know our granola is being eaten at the top at Big Frog." Anyway, that was fun. That was, again, it was a joy, because I hope that's an encouragement. But so it happened. I got back, and I needed a smoothie, obviously. But I was back early enough, and I was hungry, so I had a smoothie. It wasn't sufficient, so I had a second one. And I did jumpy jacks for both those smoothies after doing the 11-mile hike, which, so again, it encouraged me. And this morning, I did my 512 without a problem. I've done, you know, well over 1,000 already today. So, I'm encouraged, the health-wise aspect. But there's one other thing that happened. Rarely do I have visitors. Obviously, the most common is Chris. And Chris will come here, spend a good bit of time with me here. But for the first time in pretty long time. The last time I had other visitors, I believe, were the two Mormon gentlemen that didn't last. But anyway, we came back, and Luke came in, and we talked for a good while. And we talked about a variety of things. Talked about, because obviously I had the photos on the wall to talk about some of those things. And we also then, because on the big screens, reviewed just briefly Shofar book, Shofar coin, Shofar leagues, obviously, because he was, you know, familiar with Shofar leagues. And I don't know if I brought up the Shofar Nexus site, but anyway, but we went over that and discussed some of this. Especially where it gets used, you know, for example, in the discussion of Shofar book, the idea of that the initial reason for that, speaking of the Hajj, was in order to get to the Islamic community, in order to allow someone who has done the Hajj to be able to look at the Bible and compare it to the Quran without being tracked. Because, again, as we even discussed yesterday, it could cost them their lives. So to remove the tracking ability will help. You know, it's not a guarantee, but as I have started to use a lot now, it's a fighting chance. So we discussed that. And we discussed a few other things about, you know, the Shofar coin, the model, and why it's the cryptocurrencies are basically a Ponzi scheme and whatnot, and the difference with Shofar coin and things of that nature, and a few other things. But then we got to the Shofar leaks thing, and the issue being, it has to be, you know, why. Is it different than other techniques? Why is it a real fighting chance for some? And we talked about that in some depth. and actual questions. And what I saw in the dialogue is that makes sense kind of response. We talked about the fact that the purpose behind, one of the purposes in the design is to make sure the weakest link is gone, me. So build an ecosystem. You don't have to rely on donations. It is a self-sustaining economic model. There is no central player, literally no central player, unlike, you know, the blockchain garbage. But it is a truly distributed system that allows independent parties. They don't have that, you know, and there is no tracking and whatnot, because again, we discussed the Shofar coin with the Shofar, the Matryoshka protocol, and things of the nature briefly. But the thing that so fascinated about that, it was an interesting dialogue. There were some questions and so forth. There was a clear indication of understanding, you know, in the short time we had, and understanding of the merits and the risks. And the thing that I thought about, in 10 years of trying, that is the first time I had a conversation to that depth. That was encouragement. I finally had a reasonable conversation on Shofar Nexus, Shofar Coin, Shofar Book, Shofar Leaks. And that was, in a sense, maybe even a greater encouragement than the fact that I was at the top of Big Frog Mountain yesterday. I am running on to the edge. I don't like being at the edge. It's like I don't like being at the edge of a mountain. Oh, we did have, because there is the one spot that I've mentioned before at Big Frog. And, you know, I guess over time I kind of leveled out how steep it is. But as we were walking by it yesterday, no, it was steeper than I remembered. Because, you know, we're walking on this path. It's only, some places only about a foot to 2 feet wide, but some places it's really narrow. And if you slip, it's at least a couple hundred feet. And it's not, again, it's not this. It's more like, you know, this. It's kind of, it would be, and it's not a bunch of trees or whatnot. It's basically fairly open. And it's a whole lot of downhill. And we walked it again. This time, of course, you know, because the one time we walked and it was covered in snow. That was nuts. This time, you know, there was some greenery and so forth. But still, it's still that narrow trail. And if you start, even with the green, you may have difficulty stopping. And it would probably hurt. Fortunately, I've done it now 4 times, and, well, aha, because there's the longer route up, and there's the shorter route, but, you know, there's 11 mile up and the 5 mile up. Chris has done the 11 mile up twice, and I've done the 5 mile up, and I've done the 11 mile up once, and we've both done the 5 mile back 4 times. But I've done the 5 mile up 3 times, meaning that section that with the narrows, I've done 7 times, and Chris has only done 6. These are the important things in life. Anyway, the great joy from all of that of yesterday is, for the first time in a decade, I had a serious conversation about the technology and the purpose of Shofar Nexus and the related projects. That was an encouragement. Lord willing, not only will the project become completed, at least to the point that I can pass it off? And that I'll be able to eat and press on without distractions. That dialogue was a great encouragement, a really big encouragement. I did send my postcard today to Jim Cross because obviously I was thinking send it to George, but he wouldn't get it and come back. So I sent it to Jim Cross. Please tell George his dad did the 11-mile hike to the top of Big Frog Mountain yesterday with a guy less than half his age and did jumping jacks at the top and end. Oh, that's not very clear. This demonstrates stamina, just like I have in pursuit of reconciliation. Grace remains available. It remains my hope, just like it took me 10 years to have a fairly decent conversation on the technology and the purpose of Shofar Nexus, that I'll have a reasonable conversation about reconciliation with somebody, my family, extended family, church leadership. I can't give up. In the grace of God, He blessed the day yesterday. The most vivid thing was the way the rain happened. Because God is in control of the rain. And His timing, because again, it wasn't, an hour later. No, it was within a minute or two. Because the mist started almost immediately after we got to the bottom of the hill. And the rain shortly thereafter. And again, it wasn't light rain. It was pouring rain. He showed us grace and His sovereignty in doing that. He is in control of the rain, as is He's also in control of my very existence. My next breath is all in His hands. He showed His grace. He has sustained me because Luke is a hiker, but he did say it was some stress for him. He felt, especially in his legs afterwards, that was a hike. I think he said mostly the biggest issue was the going up, because, again, we went up a half a mile. But he's 29, and I'm 67, and I did the same hike with him at the same speed. And we did it at a fast pace. Besides all the other things, I felt encouraged. The Lord saying, look, I've kept you in good health. Because, because we did talk about it, the number of people who do anything like that, whether it's Big Frog or anything like that, is not. I found it fascinating. I found it fascinating because we talked about some of the other hikes that I've done and the other hikes that he's done. He's done hikes in Oregon, Colorado. I think he said Colorado. And other places. Anyway, some of them were, some of them were multi-day hikes. But we've talked about some places, because I mentioned Cloudland, and he said, yeah, places like that, that are somewhat commercialized or whatnot, but a lot of things are paved and stuff of that nature. Because, again, the I have that photo, which is a great photo. We did talk about it, the photo that I did at Cloudland, where Chris said, because there's this rock, and over the rock is down. But they have a fence there. So I stood right there next to the fence and looked down. Chris took a picture of me doing that, which would be insane for me to do. And then I dropped out the fence, you know, with some, you know, photographic editing. So it definitely looked like, gee, this guy's looking over a rock. And obviously, no, that's definitely not me. But the point was, we were talking about that, and he says, yes, there's a whole lot of a difference between places like that, and he's been to those, and places like we went yesterday, Big Frog. Because where we went yesterday, there's some trails, but the trails are not, you know, there's no handrails. and a lot of the trails are not necessarily because of man keeping it up. Because one of the things we saw was a whole lot of bear prints on the trail. I mean, seriously, bear prints on the trail. Fortunately, we saw it at the beginning. So apparently the bears are at the lower ends, not at the upper end, at least from what we saw yesterday. Because again, we saw a lot of bear prints. And we even saw the bear. But anyway, and they were fresh. But what he talked, the way he described those other places, he said those other places with the fences and whatnot, and paved trails, and whatnot, are for the normies. And I thought that fascinating, because a lot of people talk about people, the general population, as the normies, because they don't invest their mind into things. And so they're called, you know, it's basically a derogatory term. Because you just go with the flow. You know, you don't, there's no adventure. And he used that term for people who hike, you know, the paved trails. And I really thought that was fascinating, because we didn't do the normie thing yesterday. The number of people who go to the top of Big Frog in a year, it's probably not that many. Obviously, we didn't see a single person. On the way up, we did see a guy who was riding a mountain bike, and we saw he had a campsite. So there was somebody camping up there, but that was way below the trail. So, but there are a lot of places. So he's probably just spending a lot of time. How much of it was simply the camping? How much was his riding? I don't know. We didn't have a check. But then again, when we got to the trail, there wasn't anybody in the parking lot. We never saw no one on the trail. So the entire trip, got back. And, you know, again, I did the jumping jacks at the top. And to prove it amazingly to myself, when we got back to the car after doing the 11-mile hike, I did another 128 jumping jacks. Because I'm driving myself. And the other thing, because I thought about this, what I did yesterday is, I'm striving to do this, I drive myself physically. I push myself physically. My walking, the jumping jacks, I'm pushing myself physically. It's part of a discipline. It takes a conscious effort to do that. And I really think that's the easiest thing to do of three things. One is to push yourself physically. That's, you know, it's difficult in one sense, but it's easier than pushing yourself mentally. It becomes really easy to veg out, not to engage your mind in depth. You engage your mind sufficient, then go get entertained. It's commonplace. And even Luke says that. But there's a one that's yet even harder. To push yourself to love. Because it's one thing to love the easy person to love. Someone who loves you back. It's another thing to love your enemy. Especially someone who's done terrible things to you. And I'm striving to push myself on that also. And it's the hardest of the three. I try to set a role model and be an encouragement by putting the jumping jack video on BitChute and Brighteon. So combined together, roughly 100 views. And like I say, this is probably actually roughly 100 views. And maybe someone was truly encouraged by that. And hopefully not encouraged for the moment, but really encouraged, saying, I'm going to do something like that that's appropriate for them. I want to encourage. I hope, especially with the dialogue I had with Luke yesterday, that it was a mutual encouragement on the mind for what he does in his life and what I do in my life. But there is that constant striving. The reason I sent the card, ending through Jim Prost, ending with grace remains available. Because it would be really easy for me to hate him. It would be really easy. But I can't. My call is to love him as well as Chris Bitterman and Render Keynes, as, you know, someone more outside. My own kids, the ones that have turned to become an atheist or homosexual, I still love them. I love them intensely. And the lady that I've committed my life to, that has ripped me apart, I love her intensely. And I'm going to do whatever I can to offer her grace. Whether I see her again, whether reconciliation occurs, that doesn't matter. I need to love her. Because love never ends. 1 Corinthians 13:8. And I must. In obedience to Christ, I must. I also think she's cute. And I did say to Luke at the end, because I pointed actually to that picture. And I said, the most beautiful woman God ever has created is that one right there. And I assume that you're going to argue with me on that. And he said, yes, indeed. So, you know, because again, a husband's going to love his wife, and he loves his wife. And so many things. We found great joy together. My lady, my wife, yesterday, I took an 11-mile hike. And a half mile up, I did jumping jacks and told the world, literally, Dorothy Jane, I love you. I said that again at the top of Big Frog Mountain, because Dorothy Jane, I love you and I want you back.